Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio. This is KBOO FM in Portland. My name is Cecil Prescott, and today is Monday, May 17th, 2010. We thank you for joining us this morning. And this day in history, in 1954, the Supreme Court, in a unanimous decision, decided on Brown versus the Board of Education. And here in Portland, we continue to strive for education equity. It's a struggle that continues. But that's a subject for another conversation. This morning, and my name is Cecil Prescott. Celeste Carey, my co-host, is unable to be here this morning, but we wish her well and hope that she gets returned shortly. And she will. She's fine, but she's unable to be here this morning. In the meantime, we welcome you here on KBOO and joining us this morning as a part of a conversation as we look at our local economy and the national economy and things that we can do about it. As a preface for our conversation this morning, let me read you an announcement which will certainly whet your appetite. Portland residents celebrate our local economy while they move their money. That's going to be a theme this morning. Hundreds of Portland residents are expected to an outdoor celebration featuring the Lions of
Batucada.
Thank you, Robin. A Brazilian-style march and samba ensemble to celebrate the Move Your Money campaign this Saturday, May 22nd from 1 to 4 p.m. in downtown Portland at the Pioneer Courthouse Square. Now, this campaign, and you can find information on moveyourmoney.info/PDX, encourages consumers to do something with their money, moving it from big banks to someplace else to support local economy, local community banks and credit unions. Representatives from local banks and credit unions will be on hand to answer questions. This is sponsored by the Real Wealth of Portland Project, Portland nonprofit nonprofit aim. You know, I should just let the two of you introduce yourselves. Sponsored by the Real Wealth of Portland Project and Sustainable Business Network of Portland. That's Monday, May 22nd, 1 to 4 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square. And for all of you who are angry with your banks, this is your program for you this morning. Joining us this morning from the Real Wealth of Portland, Jared Gardner. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us this morning. And a person I met, I think, when I first moved to Portland X number of years ago who continues to do good work, Robin Shanti with the Sustainable Business Network of Portland. Thank you for joining us, Robin.
Thanks so much. It's nice to be here.
And it is so great to have the two of you here this morning. And Jared, let's begin with you. I see this great flyer, Move Your Money. What's happening on Saturday?
Well, Saturday's going to be a great event. It's been a long time in coming. And let me introduce Real Wealth of Portland a bit, and then we'll mm-hmm. talk about that. We're a local community organization that's committed to improving conditions here. I would say we have three kind of main themes that we're working on, and it relates to what Robin's doing. The first would be to change the story. And when we look at banking, what is the story that's going on? And bigger is better has been the theme for a long time. And is that a good way to be thinking about banking? So that's one of the things one of the frameworks that we operate with is looking at the stories and trying to change them. The second would be to build resilient communities. And again, this banking campaign fits that pretty well of what makes our communities strong. And certainly if money's flowing out of our communities to the big Wall Street banks, then we have an issue. And then the last one would be to change the rules. We can build resilient communities in isolation, but if we want to be interactive with the world and acknowledge the reality that there are systems in place, we need to change some of the rules to be more favorable for our communities. So Real Wealth of Portland is working with a coalition of people focused on the state bank idea, and we'll also be working on the Move to Amend work that's coming up.
Excellent. And Robin, why don't you tell us something about the Sustainable Business Network of Portland?
Sure. We've been around since 2003, And we were the people who started the first Buy Local campaign, the Local First campaign. Mm-hmm. And our goal is to really create a strong local economy. And part of the way we do that is we vote with our dollars. And we as citizens have a lot of power where we choose to spend that money. And when you spend money with a local business, for example, three times more of that money stays in the local economy. And last year, we were kind of looking around at this whole banking crisis, and we said, you know, we really need to create a bank local campaign and, again, prevent that money from leaking out of our local economy. And we looked for partners out there, and the Real Wealth of Portland had been doing some work around the economy, and we thought this would be a great opportunity to join forces. And we were one of the first places in the country to do a bank local campaign. And we started getting calls from around the country, people saying, oh, we want to start one. What did you guys do? And one of the first things we did last year is Jared did some research and created a flyer that really compared and rated local banks and credit unions. And the whole point of this, and I'm going to let him explain it a little better, is that, you know, our goal isn't to say X bank is bad and Y bank is good. We're about transparency, and we believe that citizens have the intelligence to decide for themselves where they would like to move their money. And so we created some tools that people could use, put that on our website, which is sbnportland.org, and worked with a coalition of groups, some banks and credit unions, to come up with a strategy for a local campaign. And I'm going to let Jared explain some of the criteria that was developed and how this flyer came about. And I really encourage people to go to our website at sbnportland.org. You can download this brochure. If you're on Facebook, you can go to Bank Local Portland and download it as well. And moveyourmoney.info/PDX. So, Jared, why don't you tell folks how we came up with this brochure?
Thanks, Robin. Excuse me. Certainly, it's just a starting point for the dialogue of what is important. And you tend to get what you measure. And so if we were measuring banks by how big they are or how many ATMs they are, then we'll have different results. And we chose to come up with three criteria that best reflect our values. One of those would be locally based. Is the bank or credit union focused on our area, or are they spread all over the nation? Would they pick up and move, like some of the larger corporations tend to do when economic winds shift? Second criteria would be locally owned, and that's back to your point about the amount of money that circulates in the economy. If it's traded on Wall Street, then we know where the profits are going. And if it's held by, say, the members, like a credit union, that circulates more resources within our community. The third criteria is a local business focus, and there's many reasons that we chose that. Banks that are focused on the local living economy tend to create more jobs and keep more money circulating here. And it's actually pretty astonishing to see the bigger the bank, the less they care about the local economy.
So let's just delve a little bit more in terms of the philosophy around this, why this is a good idea. You suggested if we have different criteria, we'll come up with different things. You know, if you want more ATMs, if you want convenience, you might have different criteria. Why is it important to focus on local banks and that focus on the local economy?
Well, certainly the Wall Street banks that aren't focused on the local economy have extracted a lot of wealth from our communities. We see that in terms of how much money is flowing to CEOs and bonuses and compensation packages, and then also the bailout. They've actually created quite an unstable system. But we could talk at length about the deregulation and how that's played in. In our opinion, and I think it plays out pretty clearly, the smaller and the more local the bank or credit union, the more responsive it is to that community. They know the people here. They're going to look at small businesses differently in terms of evaluating them for loans. The big banks tend to use computer models and brush them aside. So any small business owner out there probably has experienced the reality that a loan is going to come from a small bank that's rooted here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say that's one of the most important things is it makes capital available here for citizens who are looking for loans, you know, for their personal lives. And then, of course, business loans are critical. If you don't have that money available, then business is not going to be able to thrive, and especially in Portland, where the majority of companies are less than 20 employees, small businesses.
Right. As the two of you were speaking, I'm thinking of that classic film, It's a Wonderful Life, when we think of the idea of the banker. And I think part of the American mythology is this love-hate relationship with banks in general and whether or not banks are focus on the local economy and is banks are willing to work with local communities. As we look at, you know, the larger situation today and look at the Wall Street banks, and I think many people say there's something wrong and say, well, what can I do about it? And your suggestion is that all banks aren't the same and that there are differences. And you've come up with criteria in terms of how can we be more responsible with our money. So what are credit unions, for example, and why is that an option?
The credit unions are nonprofit, and they certainly draw the ire of banks. And in that, they don't pay taxes. But I would say that any bank that didn't run a profit wouldn't pay taxes either. So that's one kind of critical difference, is they're run as a nonprofit. So what do they do with any excess earnings? They circulate it back to the members, typically with higher interest rates or higher yields, interest yields, for your savings and CDs and stuff. And any of the loans that you might get would be typically lower interest rates. So that's how they circulate profits.
A brief explanation of a local community bank, is that different than the transnational banks?
Yes. Yeah.
Either one.
Mm-hmm. Robin? So community banks tend to be geographically located in an area rather than spread out across a state or across a region. And they tend to have more specific focus. So out in Eastern Oregon, our community banks are focused on the agricultural sector. Here, they focus either on, say, affordable housing or small business or sustainable business loans. Those sorts of things. They tend to be a little bit more adapted to the economic climate of where they're at.
Mm-hmm. And they're required to invest a certain percentage of the money that bank has back into the community. They're regulated and they have to do that.
Mm. So if they're by design and they are more responsible towards the local community,
I'd say responsible and responsive.
Responsive, that's a good
word. One of our local community banks, Albina Community Bank, for instance, the Pearl office, you know, participates in First Thursday. They always, when you go in there, they always have local artists from this area. They a lot of banks and credit unions give back to the community in various ways. Mm. And again, that's your money working for your community when you move your money out of the big national banks into local credit unions and local community banks.
You are listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO FM. My name is Cecil Prescott, and we are speaking about your money and what you can do about it to live more responsibly and be more responsible. Our guests today are Robin Shanti of the Sustainable Business Network of Portland and Jared Gardner of Real Wealth of Portland. And we want to invite you to give us a call to participate in our morning conversations. If you have questions for our guests or want to know more about how to be a responsible citizen, give us a call. And our numbers here, I'm going to need some help. 503-231-8187. You know, we had Pledge Drive last week, and so those numbers are, mixed up in my head. But give us a call, 503-231-8187. And, Jared, let's talk something more about local banks and how many credit unions are there, how many local community banks are there, and how do I decide between them once I decide to move my money out of the transnational bank?
You caught me there on the actual number. Those numbers are swirling around. I wouldn't want to get that wrong. But there's about 20 or so community banks and credit unions that have branches in the Portland area. And I know that KBOO expands beyond just the Portland area, but we focused on on this area as what we define as local. So of the institutions with branches here, there's about 20 that seem to meet what we would say our criteria for being a responsible local financial institution.
Mm-hmm. And credit unions, in terms of that, they have a different criteria, or in terms of, I guess my question is, in terms of credit unions versus community banks, what's the difference?
Basically, it's the ownership.
Okay.
You know, even community banks are usually publicly traded, right, but they have also some more stockholders and stakeholders here. Credit unions are owned by their members, so they're more – it's think of it more like a co-op.
Okay. Excellent. We're speaking this morning about money, of how to live responsibly and use our wealth responsibly. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Give us a call for a question or comment for our guests, Robin and I'm just going to say Jason, Jared. It's Monday morning, and we have a call from Brian. Good morning, Brian, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be real succinct. Have you guys in your work, I live at the coast, but the same thing, there's a lot of people have been pretty much had their credit ruined by, including me, by the economy, a combination in my case of getting sick just once and the economy tanking. And, you know, I've tried in vain, including the SBA, to get some funds for my business to enhance the equipment, just like you're talking about. And so I wonder if you have any ideas on, you know, nobody seems to be talking about this. I mean, I'm after Wyden and Merkley and anybody that will listen to see if there's any mitigating circumstances for being, you know, pretty much knocked down through the actions of the big banks and, you know, having your credit ruined. And I personally think the credit system's ludicrous and should be overhauled anyway. So I'm in a kind of one-person campaign right now, and I'd like to hear your if you've had any experience with similar things, because I'm sure I'm not alone in these times. So thank you, and thank you for the work you're doing.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, I would say you're certainly not alone in the effects of the credit system in particular. I don't think it's very healthy. Your chances are better with a community bank that will listen to your story, but the truth is that they're being hounded by regulators to tighten their lending. Mm. So even if there was, say, flexibility and desire to make that loan, the current economic situation's really, really pressing things.
Yeah, and I think one of the main differences with a local bank or credit union is there's a human being that you can talk to. Okay. You're not calling someone who's, you know, in another city. And I think that, you know, it's more humane. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is that someone will hear your story. You know, the other thing is with deregulation, you know, it was designed to ruin people's credits. You know, it was designed so that if you made a deposit but you had a check that came in, they would take the check that came in that's going to bounce your account so that they can make money off of those fees. And anyone who's been with Bank of America or some of the larger banks know what that's like when you bounce a check and things start bouncing and they're making billions of dollars off of that and they're doing it intentionally. Now, there was some legislation passed this year since Obama became president to make that illegal, but that was a practice that, you know, helped bring this crisis on.
Our numbers are 503-231-8187. We're speaking about an exciting event that will take place this Saturday, May 22nd at Pioneer Courthouse Square. It's a Move Your Money campaign. It is from 1 to 4 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square in downtown Portland. And we'll go to our next caller. Mark, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. It's Barth. But hello, and hello, Robin.
Hi.
Good to hear you back on the air, and always happy to hear what you're up to. It's an important thing. I've been in the credit union for a lot of years. They have merged recently and become a little less wonderful, but they're still way steps ahead of the banks. But Catherine Austin Phipps, who's on Flashpoint, talks about people in a local area by working with a local lender or a local credit union tend to not work against their own best interests. That the big banks have huge holdings in some of the larger corporations, which actively work against the rights and desires of we, the little guys. And so that's another point to consider here. If your money stays locally, Robin will, I'm sure, have more statistics on it. It circulates. And by circulating, that means it goes from one paycheck into local businesses and so on and so on so many times that it's like rain. It just enriches and greens up.
Recycles.
And that's my big point, and I'll listen to the rest off the air, but thanks again.
Sure. Thanks, Mark. Yeah, it's called the recirculating dollar effect. And again, I gave that statistic earlier that every time you spend $1 with a locally owned business, and again, the ownership is the key thing here with the banks and the credit unions as well as businesses, and where you put your money, you actually have power. And, you know, you're not going to do it 100% of the time, but if you just shifted 10% of your purchases with locally owned businesses, or you move your money to local bank and credit union, you may be a business owner and you can't move your money because that, you know, your business loan is with X bank. Well, then you have your personal account. You can move your personal account. So we can all take some responsibility and take back that power and say, I'm investing my money in my community. And that money would normally be leaking out. And that amount of leakage you can actually calculate. And it's astonishing. Portland has been a leader in this area. You know, we've been a leader in sustainability. We're recognized as a leader around the country in terms of people supporting locally owned businesses. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, if Jared can maybe talk about how this event, the Move Your Money Day, came about. You know, we were in the Huffington Post, an article by Stacey Mitchell, recognized as one of the cities that started a local banking campaign. And they contacted Jared and said that we're doing this Move Your Money Day on the 22nd. And we've picked two cities to focus on, Portland and Philadelphia. And so it's really an honor to be recognized by the national folks who are now putting together a Move Your Money campaign. And they said, you know, we'd love to focus on Portland. Jared, maybe you can mention a little more of how that came about.
So thanks, Robin. And while we thought of how to expand the efforts we did last year, we came up with the idea of creating a template and a ranking system that other communities could use. And that's what started to catch on around the nation and in other areas of Oregon as well. So through that work, we realized that we had a lot in common with the National Move Your Money campaign, and they were looking for different groups to spotlight, and it was just a natural fit for us to be one of the first cities to take on a Move Your Money project. And we're looking for individuals, obviously, to make the switch, but institutional money too, organizations, mm-hmm. businesses, churches.
Unions.
There are a lot of hurdles, at least perceived by these groups, in terms of moving their money. And so we're working on materials to overcome that. And ultimately, every hurdle becomes another opportunity to keep more money local and serving our community.
And let's speak a little bit about what's going to happen on Saturday. Who's going to be there? What type of information is going to be shared?
Well, we're looking at it as a celebration. Hmm. And we're doing it there on Portland's living room, Pioneer Square. We got the band Lions of Batucada, if you've ever seen them. Mm-hmm. Believe me, when they start playing, people will know something's going on in Pioneer Square. And they're kind of like the Mardi Gras Indians, you know, they're like a carnival kind of band. So they're very, very festive. We're going to have several local banks and credit unions there. They'll have tables with human beings that you can actually talk to. If you have questions about moving your money or which bank you'd like to go to or which credit union, there'll be people there you can actually talk to and ask. And then we're also going to be just talking about reasons why people need to move their money and letting people share their story. You know, if you've moved your money, for instance, and had a really good experience, we'd love to hear about that. Also, experiences that you may have had that, you know, weren't so good and reasons why you are going to move your money. So we're really looking forward. That's 1 to 4 at Pioneer Square this coming Saturday.
Excellent. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187, and we'll go to our next caller. Josh, good morning.
Josh, did you say?
Yes.
That's me.
That's you.
You know, I this past winter, I live over here near Mississippi Street, and I watched my friends and neighbors starve, and it really pissed me off. Excuse me. It really upset me. And so I've started to take matters in my own hands, and I just tuned in. I love this idea of move your money. And I have an idea. It's not mine, but I'm adopting it from some bartering techniques from East India and from South America. And it might dovetail nicely with what you're doing. I'm also very much in a celebratory mode about this. It's happening the 28th of May through the 4th of June, and it's called the Treke. Have you heard of the Treke?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, it actually saved Argentina back when their economy collapsed in the mid-90s. There are over a million people that still use this form of bartering, I guess you could call it. What it entails, there actually are financial or economic units. You know, there are units of currency that can be traded on these goods, and this is, of course, outside of a national currency. So it's meant for the people in a neighborhood to understand what they have between them in terms of values. When the Treke is applied here, I'm hoping that there'll be a readjustment of values, a revaluation of our lives and our goods, and our relationships will be certainly strengthened.
Excellent.
So, yeah, let me tell you a little bit about what I aim to do. We're already international. We have Japan, Korea, and Chile involved because I've spent time in Chile. That's where I learned about the Treke. By observing it there. So they're all on board. Chile was on board within hours of posting on my Facebook.
Okay.
And I have 6 states in the West, 3 in the East so far, and all over Portland, all my people are going to be here. We're closing down a street here on my block. It's going to be in my driveway. Services are going to be marked on checker chips. Big checker chips and goods will be here. Really good stuff. I'm already involved with a lot of the local food outfits here. I'm involved with bringing venison to my neighborhood from my home state of Montana. So we're just going to blow it up.
Hey, Josh. Hey, is there a contact information if people want some more information?
Absolutely. Please. You can give my phone number, which is 503-619-6543, and I'm going to give you the address. It's 438 North Failing. That's on the corner of Unthank Park, an amazing park over here, just by Mississippi Street. High traffic.
Hey, thank you so much.
And what do you think about that? Do you think that's viable? Do you think that's something that should be incorporated locally in Portland?
But let's get some response.
Ready.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hmm?
Certainly, there's when I think of the monetary system, there are huge issues in general, and local currencies, just to put a blanket term over what you're talking about, alternative exchange systems are really important. They go quite a ways in addressing our level of exchange, but there are certain realities like our mortgages, student loan debt, auto debt, other debts. And if anybody's looked at money as debt, and that vignette that Paul Gregan put together. You understand how complicated our monetary system is. So alternative currencies, local currencies are great. We also have to address the financial system as a whole, which dominates our lives. 60, 70, 80% of our lives tend to be wrapped up in that. So banking local is certainly a huge part of that. And then the third level, we could bank local all day, but we're tied into a national and international system. And one way to gain some financial independence is a state bank, just like North Dakota has. And so we've been working for the last year with a coalition of groups to introduce legislation this next year, hopefully to create a state bank or some form of it that would keep more money circulating in the state economy.
You know, for instance, when you take all the money that's collected in Oregon, all the PERS money, all our tax money, any money we get from the federal government, less than 1% of that is in Oregon banks, less than 1%. Now, in this economy, if you look at the state of North Dakota, it's doing fairly well. Now, when you have a national bank, a state bank, all that money goes into that state bank. So then again, in North Dakota, which tends to be pretty rural, a lot of the farmers get their loans from that State Bank of Oregon. There's now a pool of money where people can then get loans at lower interest. And it's a really great way to make sure our money is not invested. Now, when you look at the current way things go, when you hear the state treasurer, for example, talking about what's going on, they believe that their goal is to get the largest return on that investment. So if they're investing overseas, if they're investing in some of these corporations that are doing horrendous things to us, that's not an issue. That's not, you know, even in the equation. They just want the bottom line, the largest return that they can get. Well, we believe that investing in the community, there's a tangible and intangible return there. You know, we've got to make it so that investing in our community, investing in our local economy takes priority. How much is, you know, enough? How much is a good return? And how do you measure that?
You're listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO FM. Our guests today are Robin Shanti of the Sustainable Business Network of Portland and Jared Gardner of Real Wealth of Portland. They are here to speak about their organizations and what we can do to impact our economy to make it move towards justice. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And Jared, I was on the website of Real Wealth of Portland, and I was trying to find, you know, a short statement of who you are and your purpose. And one thing that I saw that I thought was inspiring was making the invisible economy visible, move into an economy that fosters social justice, equity, and peace. And sounds like a good principles. And you mean Bank of America doesn't operate on those principles? Maybe not. Let's go to our next caller. Good morning. Good morning, Julie. Is that you?
Yep, this is me.
Hey, great.
Good morning. Yes, I had just a couple of questions. one's kind of piggybacking on what you guys were just talking about the Oregon revenue not staying in Oregon. I know a lot of people or a lot of listeners right now are on unemployment, and I'm wondering if there's any move or any options, because as far as I know, your money is automatically deposited into a U.S. bank account, and you have a little Relia card. I'm wondering if there's any options there. And I'm wondering also, as far as outside of just savings and checkings, for other money like retirement plans or life insurance policies, is there a way to go local with those? And that's it. I'll take your comments off the air. Thank you.
Oh, excellent. Thank you.
Those are great questions. The first should instill much desire to help move money. Yes, U.S. Bank is the preferred provider of the unemployment system, and they've actually got a wonderful policy that puts more money in their pockets with that Relia card that you're talking about. So one, they've got a captive audience. They get all that money, and they hold on to it, and then you're allowed to take, what, two withdrawals if you're not a U.S. Bank customer, and then after that you start paying fees. So that's a big moneymaker for U.S. Bank. I'm sure they would not want that to be taken by a state bank. And just to be clear, a state bank wouldn't operate to be in competition with local community banks and credit unions, but to serve them in partnership to help make more money available through them. The other big issue is that state tax revenue that's collected largely up front, say through property taxes, is held and then dispersed through payroll, public employees throughout the year. And that money is all held by Bank of America, largely. And that's a big moneymaker for them as well. So we would like to bring all that money home and keep it local. As far as investments, that's a little outside of our scope, I think, to talk about. Maybe Robin could address.
Yeah, there's a couple of funds here in Portland. There's one in particular called Portfolio 21. You can check it out at Portfolio21.com. And they vet all of the companies that they invest in very thoroughly to make sure that they're sustainable, green, and they also have practices social equity, which is a big component that we don't really talk about when we talk about people, planet, and prosperity. Well, the people part of that is something that Portfolio 21 takes very seriously. There's also other socially responsible national funds, but Portfolio 21 is local. There's also Shorebank Pacific, does some really good investments as well.
You're listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO. My name is Cecil Prescott, and let me remind you that coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 is the OMO Variety Hour. A Portland environmental engineer discusses the politics and science of cleaning up oil spills. The movie Moles review The Mother, and we hear a discussion on the Kerry Lieberman Energy and Climate Bill. At 10:15, hear Air Cascadia headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15 on Locus Focus, the topic is the impact of the Massey mining disasters and the BP oil spill on the future of fossil fuels. At 11, Health and Healthcare Forum features an interview with Gwen Shepherd, Corvallis resident and the NAACP health coordinator for our region. And at 11:30, the guests are Carol French of Friendly House and Marie Max McCosey Jones, the chair of Gay and Gray Portland. They will talk about the Gay and Gray Expo and the social health and housing needs of Portland elderly LGBTQI community. All of that here on your local community radio station, KBOO Portland. We're speaking this morning about the economy. It's a crisis or an opportunity. Our guests here believe it's an opportunity for transformation. Joining us this day are Jared Gardner of the Real Wealth of Portland and Robin Shanti of the Sustainable Business Network of Portland. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. We have a bunch of people on the phone, so let's get right to our next caller. Bob, we want to hear from you.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Yeah, I have some very wealthy friends, and they have informed me that without the wealthy, all of us poor people are going to get poorer. Mm-hmm. And that we need them, and that's just a bunch of bull. And I think a grassroots effort, neighborhood by neighborhood, where people commit to stop buying stuff that's made outside of Oregon would be a good idea.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think your point. What I immediately think of is what is wealth, and the people you're talking about have a lot of financial wealth, and probably in the form of speculative Wall Street stocks. And we, especially with the name Real Wealth of Portland, are trying to ask the question, what is wealth? What makes our communities wealthy? And a lot of that comes down to the relationships, our relationships to each other, to the earth, and how can we focus on making our communities resilient? That'd be a metaphor that we would like to use is what is resilience in terms of real wealth?
Mm-hmm. I'd also like to say it's not so much an issue of buying things that are not made in Oregon. It's, again, the ownership of those businesses. And when you're supporting a business that's locally owned, more money is recirculating in our economy. One other comment about, you know, what is the wealth of a community? There's a lot of wealth that isn't measured. You know, the work that women or caretakers do in the home, for instance, is not measured as the wealth of a community. And, you know, there's an excellent book by Rian Eisler called The Real Wealth of Nations. And, you know, I really encourage people to read that and start looking at, you know, what real wealth is. And both Jared and I are very committed to making our community a model for, you know, looking at what our real wealth is. And again, we want to encourage everyone to come out on Saturday, this Saturday from 1 to 4 at Pioneer Square. You can dance with the Lions of Batucada. And really make a statement. Come down there. Let the nation see that Portland is moving our money.
And we'll go to our next caller. Jayla is calling. Good morning, Jayla.
Hi. I wanted to call and put in a positive for my bank. I bank with Albina Community Bank on Sandy Boulevard. And my bank is very much part of the community. It has ongoing community events. It has art for the community. And I tell you what is the best for me, because banks have been very intimidating. Mm. They have your money, and then they take your money. But this bank is very customer-friendly. You walk in the door, everybody say, hey, Jayla, it's very exciting. It's very good. And I really appreciate Albina Community Bank.
Hey, thank you so much, Jayla. And, you know, one point that she made was banks are intimidating. Sometimes these institutions, especially for people who are struggling, working poor people. And I think part of the effort on Saturday is to not only present a friendly face, but to show people their own power and what they can do to make changes.
You know, as a matter of fact, what's really interesting is there'll be several CEOs of local credit unions there to meet the people and, again, break down that wall and say, you know, we're here, we're part of your community, we want to welcome you. And, you know, how many times do you think you're going to get the CEO of a national Wall Street bank coming down to party with the people? That's not going to happen.
Well, it sounds like a great opportunity for people to really think about where they put their money and how they are treated with their money in other people's banks and being treated, not respected.
Well, thanks so much, Jayla. You know, this is a great example. How many times do you hear someone say, I love my bank, you know, and I can say I bank at Albina also, and I love my bank.
All right. Well, this is a program about local community banks and credit unions and how we can make changes in our own personal and institutions and to effect a more socially just environment. Let's go to our next caller. Brian, are you there? And Brian is away from the phone right now. Let's go to our next caller.
Hello.
Hello. Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, just a quick comment for the show. Number one, I guess your panelists, as far as their credentials go, if they ever worked in the financial industry, and I'm not talking about being a bank teller, I wonder if anyone has an MBA or has, you know, a broker or a licensed financial advisor or things like that, or an accountant degree or, you know, certification.
Okay.
Number two, if people don't think that credit unions are concerned with their bottom line as big as the big banks, you're fooling yourself. I mean, they put out annual reports as well, and the reason they're in business is to be profitable, and that's the bottom line. Of course, they're concerned with customer service and being, you know, embedded in the community. I mean, that's part of their function as credit unions and as a local business, but if you're thinking that they're not concerned with the bottom line, you're mistaken. My last point is, how do these organizations that we're talking about, what do they think about serious, you know, the tax measures that just passed that kind of hurt some small business owners? I've known people that have had to lay off due to taxes companies have been able to had to pay. And also, you got to be careful giving people advice, you know, on the phone. I'm sure there's a lot of savvy people out there, but at the same time, you just can't go ahead and switch your money. Even if you have a CD in a national bank, let's say a 12-month CD, you're going to get penalized. You're going to lose money if you just go ahead and move your CD. So hopefully these people on your station are promoting counseling with money, not just, hey, let's move it just because it's good and local. That's okay. All I got
to
say.
Okay, a bunch of questions. Let's get to them. Okay.
Yeah, we'll see if we can tackle them all. So remind me if I don't.
Credentials.
Or jump in. Actually, I was going to go backwards through that. Certainly, we wouldn't want to encourage people to be financially irresponsible, and our ranking is definitely a starting point. So what matters to you? What are the criteria that matter? Check it out. Think about it. When you meet with your bank, ask, what are the implications? Can you move your funds without penalty, and to what benefit?
And that's one of the reasons we're doing this event, where you can go, instead of just saying, this is great, I'm going to go move my money, you can go have a conversation with the various credit unions and banks that will be there who can advise you on this.
Mm-hmm. And to go even further than what our caller suggested, move your debt, too. If you can refinance, if it makes sense, I certainly wouldn't advocate irresponsibly refinancing a home. But if it makes sense, and often it does, to move that debt or cut up your credit card with your Wall Street bank and open one up at your credit union or local bank. As far as credentials, why is that important would be one of my questions, because we're often told that hierarchy is important and we shouldn't think for ourselves that we should trust somebody else with some letters after their name. I come from the mortgage banking world, so it's a different aspect of banking, but certainly interacting with the big banks, because that's what our option is with mortgages, is largely big banks with some few exceptions. And I went down the financial planner path doing my series 6 and 7 and the CFP designation, just a little bit, just know enough that building community was more what I wanted to focus on in my life. So we've certainly worked with some nationally recognized researchers to put together our materials and think through the issues. But it is back to the point we want to see people taking things into their own hands, thinking for themselves and owning our actions and our understanding.
There was one other comment that the caller made about profitability. Mm-hmm. And we've never said that we don't expect banks, local banks or credit unions to not be profitable. We want those profits to be spread through the community. And again, it's the same thing. Where you spend your dollars, where you invest your dollars is going to make a huge difference in our community. So it's just really a matter of being conscious about that and responsible. We've given a couple of tools that you can download from our website, sbnportland.org, or what's the other website there?
moveyourmoney.info/pdx.
Yeah, and you can download it and see for yourself and use that as a guide, or come out on Saturday and talk to some people face-to-face.
Excellent. You are listening to More Talk Radio. Our guests are speaking about a wonderful event this Saturday at Portland Pioneer Courthouse Square from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m.
No, 1 to 4.
1 to 4 p.m. as I read not so well.
That's okay.
Move their money. Move your money. Move our money. Taking control and responsibility for our communities.
And, you know, I just want to put a shout out also. If there's anybody out there in a local union, think about talking to your union reps about moving their money. You know, unions in particular need to walk the talk and invest that money out of large multinational banks into local banks.
Mm-hmm. And we'll go to our callers as our time comes towards a quick conclusion, but we have a few more callers online. Let's go to our next caller. Good morning. Thank you for calling.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
Good discussion. I agree with what's going on here. Something was said though that kind of put my hair up on the back of my neck.
Okay.
And that was somehow that gentleman said that he had a rich friend and that we need rich people.
That was a caller?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we're dependent on rich people and, you know, and we've got to, and I don't get that. I don't know if anyone remembers him saying that, but when I look at the distribution of income over the last 40 years, it seems that it's the rich people who's, you know, benefiting and everyone else is not, and that we're sort of being drained by the disproportion and of wealth in this community. And I just wanted to make that 2 cents. You know, we really don't need rich people. We need each other. And one way to even out the distribution of income is to keep your money local and spend it locally. But that's just my 2 cents.
Hey, thank you for your 2 cents, and continue to invest it locally. And we'll go to our next caller. Good morning. We lost you before, but we have you now, Rob.
Hello?
Yes, we have you. Good morning.
This is Rob. Yeah, I'm sorry. A few minutes ago, you had a call, or you were talking about how people on unemployment are paid with a Relia card.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it goes straight to U.S. Bank. That's true, but you can change that. You can change it to whatever, wherever you want to have it, you know, deposited. I had mine deposited at U.S. Bank for quite a while before I realized I could change it to my local credit union, which I did.
Wow.
That's good. Excellent info. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Great.
Bye.
Thank you.
You know, I wanted to make a comment about the rich people thing. And I think...
Continue.
I think that's a question that we're all wrestling with and that we need to be wrestling with as a country. and in our community, how much is enough? Yes. You know, how rich is rich? And we've seen, you know, huge disparities, probably the largest, at least in my lifetime. And that's something we need to question as individuals and, again, do what we can do with our own money.
And let's go to our next caller.
Hello, good morning. Are you there?
Yes, we are.
Okay, good. So a couple little points. Number one, if there's rich people, that means there's poor people. That's all there is to it. That's plain and simple. You can't be rich without making somebody poor. Number two, I like two candidates here for myself. I like Kitzhaber and I like Bradbury. I like Kitzhaber because he was the genius that created OHP, but I like Bradbury because he has the idea of creating the Oregon Bank. You got to own the money, like North Dakota. You got to own the money. They're the only state that is completely sovereign right now with an influx of money. They have a balance sheet of like $250 million. We need to have an Oregon Bank. We need to have the money. We issue the loans. We make the interest. We take control of our own destiny. The Oregon Bank is the way to go. Bill Bradbury's got that idea. I like that. I think it's genius, and we'd be out of debt in less than 2 years as a state.
Okay.
And lastly, the Center for Sustainable Today, a nonprofit here in Portland, Oregon, provides a show about money and how it works on a monthly basis the second Wednesday on Channel 11 at 5 p.m. live. So you could talk to a money manager and actually be educated on how money works. And that's really imperative that we get counseling and we also have ability to learn how this thing works and learn how to change it.
Thank you for the information.
Excellent.
SustainableToday.org. Take care.
Okay.
I'll jump in as the state bank topic is certainly one that's occupied quite a bit of my thinking. And Bill Bradbury is one of many candidates who sees the logic and the wisdom of moving in this direction. We've been working on this idea for over a year and have found that it's a great crossover issue. Both Republicans and Democrats typically like it because it keeps people employed by circulating more money in our economies. Farmers to liberals have really embraced the idea. So it's much bigger than Bradbury, although he's a wonderful man. We've been blessed to be able to work with many legislators and have conversations with the treasurer's office about the idea. So it's definitely taking on some legs here in Oregon as well as many other states around the country.
And as an issue, I just wanted to clarify, as much as we do appreciate the work that Bill Bradbury is doing, it was not his idea. He embraced the idea that had been about a year
that a lot of people have been working on.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're still working on it and encourage anyone out there to jump on that bandwagon as well.
Okay. We have time for one short call, and we'll go to that call and before we have to sum up. Good morning, caller.
Hello?
Yes. Your comment?
Yes, thank you. I have a question. I went to the National Move Your Money website several months ago trying to get information about local credit unions, and you're supposed to enter your zip code, and then they'll feed back the information. Well, it was totally inadequate. I didn't get anything even within 100 miles of where I'm at here. So I'm wondering if your guests, if they're information is much more localized, and secondly, if they're in coordination with the national website to try to update their database so that when somebody punches in their zip code, they actually get information that's relevant to their area.
Hey, thank you so much for your call. I think it's a good call to sum up the information, how people can access.
Yeah, and I wanted to say that we were doing this work before the National Move Your Money campaign even started. So the information that we have on our websites is specific to the Portland metro area. And you can get that information at sbnportland.org, right on the homepage. Look for local banking. Or you can get it at
moveyourmoney.info/PDX.
And I think Jared has more information about the national website there that and why.
Yeah, I would check back and re-enter your zip code. Institutional Risk Analysis is the company that first put together the rankings and or the locator system, and they've been I've been in touch with Dennis Santiago over there, and they've been working quite a bit to update that and work with feedback that they've been getting. Certainly in the beginning, it was spotty for some of the areas, but I think it's really developed since then. And any community that's wanting to do their own, say out in other parts of the state, contact us, and we'd love to give some tools that you can do your own analysis and make it public, make it visible, as we like to say, the institutions that are favorable to your community.
Yeah, and when you download that, it's a trifold brochure, it has, you know, over 20 banks and credit unions to choose from with our criteria about, is that money coming back to the community?
Excellent. I want to thank our guest this morning, Jared Gardner. I still want to call you Jason. Jared Gardner of the Real Wealth of Portland and Robin Shanti of the Sustainable Business Network of Portland, and invite all of you to participate this Saturday, May 22nd, from 1 to 4 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square in downtown Portland, a Move Your Money campaign. The campaign will encourage consumers to move their money from large institutions into local community banks or credit unions that support the local economy. For more information, you may go to their website, and we will also have information here at KBOO.
And one thing I wanted to say also about that word consumer, we're going to take back that word and talk about citizens instead of consumers, because a citizen cares where their money goes.
Excellent. Have a great day. Enjoy your life.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.